it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
This update is brought to you by Doral Hyundai, home of the price. It's our lowest price. Visit us at Doral Hyundai or at DoralHyundai.com. Starting with the Panthers, who suffered their first loss of the season, falling to the Flyers 5-2. The Cats look to bounce back when they host Detroit tomorrow night. Over to the Heat, who fell to the Hawks 119-118 in overtime. Miami will wrap up the preseason when they host Memphis on Friday. Opening night is next Wednesday in Orlando. In the NFL, Week 6 wrapped up with the Falcons beating the Bills 24-14 and the Bears beat the Commanders 25-24. Week 7 begins on Thursday with the Bengals and Steelers. And in baseball, the Mariners beat the Blue Jays 10-3 to take a 2-0 series lead. And the Dodgers took a 1-0 series lead over the Brewers with a 2-1 win. The Joe Rose Show continues now.
Well, I mean, now that I've heard of them, you know, you guys caught me before I heard them. So it was kind of like, I doesn't surprise me, whatever reaction. I think, regardless of an intent and, what was on to his mind, after a loss as the franchise quarterback, that's not the forum to displace that. I think he knows that now. I do honestly believe it was not, there's no ill intention, but you're talking about, I think kind of a misguided representation of player orchestrated film sessions. The bottom line is no one's going to be happy and always is looking for reasons for failure to succeed. So you're trying to look for reasons that, you can attribute to losses. And there's heavy is the crown of being a franchise quarterback. I think, what I do know is that he's directly communicated with a lot of guys, starting with last night. And that's what teammates do. And you live and you learn. And ultimately, I look at it like everything else. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. Accountability and our team's performance always lies squarely on my shoulders. So we know that as well. But the focus to beat the Cleveland Browns and fix this fix what we need to get fixed in our game to go attack the next opponent. There's nowhere in that lies anything but focus on what we can do individually and how we can attack this work week, and everything else is not leading us into the direction of solution.
Dolphins head coach Mike McDaniel there. It's time to head out to the Toyota of Hollywood hotline.
Right, listen to that.
Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale. One location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan. ToyotaofHollywood.com. Hoping that Kyle could put you in a better mood.
I appreciate what Mike was trying to say. This guy's been in the league now, 6 years? Can you say something like that? And people didn't realize that wasn't going to be a big deal. Are you serious? Like, you know, some guys pissed off. I don't care what anybody says. Oh, no, it's part of the team. No. When it's done privately, it's a lot easier to get over. But you call somebody out after a loss, when everybody's listening and it goes all over the country, man, don't you learn that when you're back in high school or college, whatever's going on, you keep it in-house?
I told Kyle you weren't doing well.
And by the way, the other thing before we bring in Kyle Krabs here, if they're not showing up and you're calling a meeting, they don't respect you. Just leave it that. Hey, Kyle Krabs joins us, host of Locked On Fins podcast and A to Z Sports. Good morning, Kyle. How you doing?
I was chomping on the bit, getting ready to jump in here. And cheer you up a little bit, Joe.
Yeah, no, no. Listen, man. Yeah. Well, listen, I wish you would have got to me yesterday. Yeah. Can you call me at like 5:50, like on a Monday morning? I'd really appreciate the help.
Give me a pep talk.
Yeah, just to get. Hey, first of all, what were your thoughts, real quickly, on Tua? Whatever Omar asked him and how he decided to answer it.
I think you don't throw a pipe bomb out there without understanding that it is a big deal. I'd be very surprised if you got Tua to authentically say, yeah, I didn't think that was going to be as big of a thing as it was. I think you know what that is when you put that out there. And between what he said and then what Mike's response was after the game and then what Mike's response was on Monday after he went back and heard exactly what was said, regardless of where you fall on the spectrum, I think one thing that continues to be apparent is the higher powers that be on this team just really don't seem like they're on the same page with a lot. And that makes the vibes pretty bad, I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, you probably heard a lot. Teron Armstead said it best, who was with this team last year and has been around this team this year doing some work, that they just don't look like a team. They're just kind of just all split up. And Bo said the same thing before the game when they ran out on the field. He goes, man, something's not right with this team. And, you know, they kind of were sliding through there till they went down and made the comeback. But anyway, let's get to the football stuff. Hey, one thing's for sure. Clearly right now, Devon Achane is the best player on this football team. What happened in that last game has nothing to do with Devon Achane. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's been sensational. Wow. I do think I'd love to see, like, the touchdown that he had the previous week against Carolina. I'd love to see them find some opportunities to get him touches in the passing game that aren't behind the line of scrimmage. Because I feel like you've kind of reached a point where those quick perimeter screens where you motion him out of the backfield, I think he had one that was behind the line of scrimmage, so it technically went for a rush. But those are kind of like your built-in, we're back up in the offense type touches. And I can't help but feel like there continue to be more opportunities to give you that other prolific space receiver. And obviously we had the target that was intercepted on what wasn't a good ball on Sunday from Tua. And that's where I'm continuing to look for as they continue to acclimate to life after Tyreek Hill. What are the ways can they find, because he's not a 25, 30 pound bell cow back on a week by week basis. And that's totally fine. But that means you have these other opportunities that I think it would behoove you to continue to explore. And that's, as we're looking for silver linings and things to get excited about on game day, the name Devon Achane is one of those reasons why.
This thing has turned into three guys, man. Waddle, Achane, and Darren Waller. And I got to get Waller the ball more. Like, besides that red zone play where he's wide open coming across the field deep in the back of the end zone, corner of the end zone there, wide open again for a second touchdown on that play, and obviously a great call because they were totally confused on it. But got to get Darren Waller the ball more. Would you agree?
Yeah, I think so. And I believe what we talked about it when I came on last week, we talked about some of their heavier personnel packages, and that includes 22 personnel. And they ran it at a season high clip against the Chargers. They got a 49 yard touchdown out of it on what looked like crack toss or pin and pull. And then they had another Devon Achane touchdown out of it. They averaged almost 8 yards a play out of 22 personnel with two backs and two tight ends on the field. And you probably don't run that with Tyreek Hill's presence because you have Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, right? So I think offensively the Darren Waller piece of this, when your two tight ends are an inline player in Julian Hill and the receiving profile player that Darren Waller has showcased himself to still be, keep leaning into it because it's working for you right now.
Yeah, Julian Hill, by the way, is playing really well. I know our fan base is pretty down on him. Man, he's getting better and better catching as well as his blocking, and without the penalties, He's what they thought he was going to be when they were taking heat, when they continue to play him and he was having some bad penalties.
1,000,000,000%. I'm glad that you shouted him out and gave him a little love. And I know Joe Rose knows what good tight end play looks like.
He's already doing things I couldn't do. But I got to tell you, he's really turned into a good player. And you're right. Nobody's talking about him. Let's get to the other part. Did the defensive line, I felt like, and I don't know the numbers, I felt they played better inside. The plays actually outside of the tackles seemed to hurt them. The plays that bounced outside. What did you think of their play inside? Better this last week?
I thought it was more consistent. Was it perfect? No. Was there inconsistencies? Yes. Is that to be expected with two young guys that are playing at a really high clip and volume of plays? Yeah. And, I think the discouraging thing for this game was, you know, that you knew what the issues were at tackle for the Chargers and the guys that they were down at tackle. You knew what they were down at running back, and they still get outside you. They get outside you because they load you up, they go heavy, they go with a condensed set with a couple of tight ends, and they put the pressure on your corners and your safeties to fit on the edge and set a hard edge and turn it back inside. And on one of those plays, Matthew Judon, he's got two tight ends lined up outside of him, where his gap's lined up, so he's not really the outside contained player. And Rasul Douglas does his best to turn it out inside, but you get, you know, KJ Britt is caught up in the wash, and Ashton Davis looks like he's trying to fit inside instead, and then he gets hooked, and that's how explosive plays happen on the edge. So knowing what the Chargers did not have on the edge of their offense in this game, for that to be the development that happens is a frustrating subplot amongst a whole bunch of frustrating subplots on defense.
So that offensive line was a story. I mean, you know the deal. They had four or five guys out, literally, besides, you know, Slater's been out all year. All ended up not playing before the game. They made a decision not to play him, even though he wanted to play. And they went with a whole bunch of backups I just thought our pass rush, when we got him in passing situations, were you surprised one sack on Herbert is all they had? I know Jalen Phillips missed one at the end of the game, but did you think we get more pressure, or did you think the pressure was pretty good?
I thought the pressure's one thing, but pressure that leads to interruptions in the offense and pressure that leads to negative plays are two different things. And Jalen certainly had his way at times with Bobby Hart over at right tackle, who hadn't started the game since 2021. And you'd expect that, even as Jalen being a guy that's coming back after missing half the year in 23 and three quarters of the year in 24. So I thought he had his fair share of wins, but yeah it was, even when you blitz, and you scheme up and you get some free runners. Like, it's been like this the last couple of weeks, and it's been big plays where you've manufactured free runners on the quarterback and you just don't get him down. Like, remember, Bryce, you had one of those on Bryce Young last week and he got outside the pocket. I think that was the play on fourth down that they end up converting with the deep, long developing crosser where he jukes out Bradley Chubb on the sideline. Like, they got to figure out what the aiming point is and how to anticipate the quarterback's exit angles, because even when Weaver does dial up successful pressures, you got guys running down the barrel at him right up the middle, and the quarterback's getting outside of him and forcing a missed tackle.
Right. So they had 400. I don't know how. Again, I thought the whole offense for the Chargers were going to shut down when I saw who that was lining up on the offensive line. They had 400 yards of offense. I start worrying about confidence when you don't have success, and we're going to fix it. Yeah, we feel better. Are the younger guys, are you seeing any improvement? And I know our number one pick had his first sack of the season, solo sack. Are you seeing guys getting better?
I think in spots you see the flashes of improvement. It just feels like it's that wall where you've got the leaks and you plug a leak and then you move your hand to plug another leak and something else springs back up.
Yeah.
So it's the cohesiveness of that unit from top to bottom. Really, like we went out of the Panthers game and we talked about the interior defensive line. Well, the interior defensive line showed up and played with some some pride and some gusto against, you know, the starting interior crew over the Chargers. And now it's the safeties,
right,
and some of the edge play that's the problem in week six. And you know, I think Vidal had a 38-yard run, and Ladd McConkey had a 42-yard catch and run. So there's 80 of your 400 yards right there on two plays.
Yeah. No question about it. That's a problem. Hey, Tua has been a hot topic, and forget what he said, but what do you think of his play overall in the game?
Sympathetic to the first interception.
Not his fault.
Sympathetic to the last interception, where it's kind of, hey, we're kind of screwed, and we know we're not getting that ball down in the end zone. So I think the frustrating thing for me with Tua, and I wrote about this at the beginning of the week, for A to Z, the 10 to 19 yard area of the field between the numbers for the first 2 years of the McDaniel Tua pairing was like, it was supercharged. He had, even when you put in 2024, where they got into that area of the field less, he had a pass rating of 113 across 3 years and 295 pass attempts in that area of the field.
Wow.
Thus far this season, he's only had 17 attempts into that space. He's had some bad misses in that space, and he's thrown four picks. His passer rating is 48 in that same area of the field versus 113. And it's the throws where you miss guys high, and it's hey, we got to put a little juice on it and drive the throw, but we have an opportunity there. And you could go almost game by game and feel like we had like an uncharacteristic miss that now, because we're in week six and we keep seeing them, you still have some of those uncharacteristic misses that they kind of become, okay, when's that miss going to happen? And whether it's because we're flashing our feet, because we're trying to avoid pressure, like is what felt like it happened in week five when he missed Waddle on that potential second game-winning drive opportunity. You know how open Waddle was on that route. That was right in that muddy area of the field, and he just sailed the throw. So that's the thing that I think is most frustrating for me, that for Tua, is that area has been your calling card, and you just have nothing happening right there. And I understand defenses are kind of squatting on that area of the field a little bit more, and they were doing that in 24 as well. But then you also have misses in that space that are uncharacteristic misses.
What's your take on Savai Nya? He had a couple of bad plays they showed, and I can't see it all the time. Did he play any better to you?
I think he is getting incrementally better. I think the hard thing for Savai Nya is you kind of get the sense when you watch the film, they're giving a lot of help to the other guard spot because they're on their, what, fourth option to play right guard this year?
Yes.
But Cole Strange got here after week one. So I you've got a young tackle playing next to you. You've got a center that oftentimes is turning away from you because they want to give the support to the right side of the offensive line. And it puts him on more islands than I think probably they would have expected and anticipated when they looked at their starting line and said, hey, we got James Daniels, a vet here at right guard. That's probably the guy we want to leave on an island. Well, the center's turning the other way to give support there. And I think that really amplifies the minus plays. But when he does have the minus plays, they're really ugly. And that's why I think he's such a prominent, like, everybody's so aware of his struggles, because when he has minus plays, man, they show up in big spots at times.
Yes.
And they're very obvious that we had a missed assignment on the inside.
All right. We're sitting here at 1-5 going to play Cleveland, who's also got one win and averaging 13 points a game and really struggling, got a good defense. You just looked at the schedule, and the Chargers were the most beaten up team injury wise that we've played this year. Good chance at home. We let that one slip away. Do you start worrying about confidence of having no idea how to win a football game?
For some of the young guys, maybe you're sitting there waiting for something to go wrong, or that's in the back of your mind, especially the last 2 weeks, right? Where, I mean, you had the lead in the final 5 minutes in both of those. And if both those games break differently, we're waking up on the radio this morning talking about a team that's out of 1.5 games out of first place in the AFC East, right?
Right.
And that's just Carolina and the Chargers game. That doesn't even get into the actual New England game.
Yeah.
So, I probably I would say probably still a little too early to start worrying about like long-term scar tissue, but this has become a troublesome trend in these one-score games where you have a unit that has a catastrophic failure and it shows up in the end result because you're playing so many tight games.
Kyle, thank you, man. One day we're going to have a nice conversation, just talk about a lot of really, really good things. Who's playing really well on defense before I let you go? Give me a guy. I feel dirty after this 15 minutes with you. Just give me somebody who's playing well defensively.
But I want to give a little bit of love to Jordan Brooks. Okay. His missed tackle rate this year is under 5%. And you've got six guys on this team that have played at least 100 snaps this year that have a missed tackle rate above 20%.
Ooh.
So tackling's been a sore spot.
Yeah.
And for Jordan Brooks, who's playing behind what is at times a leaky interior in front of him to protect him and let him fit in the gaps, to be a guy who now is starting to have some linebackers next to him that are being juggled around, and to have so much stuff that's spilling up into his lap, for him to have a missed tackle rate that's under 5%, I think deserves a nod as somebody who is doing the best with what the defensive situation is affording them.
Yeah. Kyle, thank you, man. I really appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
Of course.
Kyle Krabs, host of Locked On Fins podcast and A to Z Sports NFL. Hey, Lanning Men's Clinic's got a program for you. I want to talk to all my brothers out there. Doesn't matter, 40s, 50s, 60s, low T kicks in, man. And it affects your life, and a lot of guys are going through it right now. Now, a lot of you have just decided, I got it. I got low T NED, and I don't care about my energy level and that I feel like crap, and I'm half depressed and not sleeping well. And by the way, my sex drive's been gone for a while. My wife's just now my friend. Hell, we don't even sleep together. We sleep in different bedrooms. It doesn't even matter anymore. I don't know about you, but I was headed that direction. I'm going, no. Heck no. I had full-blown low T and ED. Full-blown, man. Sex drive was gone. Energy was shot. I was taking long naps every day and like, no, are you going to work out or something? No, I'm going to sit here and just keep gaining weight. But I'm going to eat the same amount of food. Hey, listen, Atlantic Men's Clinic works. That's where I wanted to get to. Listen, I've had great results with it. I want to share it with everybody in South Florida. If you're going through it right now, don't be embarrassed. It happens to every man out there. Black, white, brown, does not matter. It does not discriminate. And I want to let you know Atlantic Men's Clinic works like nobody's business. They're going to take the test, the T, the PSA test for you, get that done. Then they're going to have their professionals meet with you, go over everything and say, here's our plan for you. Do you want to start? And you say yes. They got seven locations in South Florida, one in Hollywood. I promise you, I get asked how quickly before it kicks in. I know it's mostly ED for guys, but it's really the whole package. It's just about feeling good to want to go work out every day. And sure, it's about being able to chase that beautiful girlfriend or wife around and get what you used to have back. You can do it no matter what age you are. Again, call them today and set up that first appointment. 877-455-7300. The most important one's the first one. You get down there and get set up. And then get on the program and get great results. That's what's going to happen. Go to AtlanticMen'sClinic.com for more information.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know why it's not
outside of Cleveland. You know, think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why fans. It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
And that ended up being the difference. And, of course, Dicker the kicker made an easy field goal to end the game. So just another way to lose a game and try to figure this thing out. And, see, I'll tell you what, Mike's got his work cut out of keeping everybody together. And I know he's going to say the same things every week. And he didn't get any help from his quarterback. Really didn't, because now the head coach can't act like it didn't exist and like, hey, Tua, you go take care of this whole thing. I got enough problem.
The problem becomes, though, like, Mike has to know this is it, right?
Yes.
Like, there's no way to come back from this.
100. I hate saying this because my wife says it all the time. 100%.
99.9. And you never know what Stephen Ross is going to send out. So,
well,
but Joe, he's got to know that this is the end. Like,
and there's another report out there yesterday, and it makes you roll your eyes.
That he's going to wait and be patient.
He's going to wait because they have been competitive, and he went in there again and goes, well, Mike, here we are again. Yeah, okay, well, we...
No, if the goal was to be competitive, they've done that, I guess.
On to Cleveland, and we're so close. We just got to get a win. Dying to come down here and celebrate with you.
You know what the funny thing is? If they would have turned a couple of these crap losses into wins, they'd be right in the mix.
Yep. Here's the problem, though. You just haven't put together anything close to a complete game.
No.
The problem is, even in the last game, what happened in the third quarter coming out at halftime? And again, I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer because we still took the lead in the game, came back to take a one-point lead and chewed up most of the time on the clock. But what was that? 155 yards to minus 11. What the F was that? Like, how's that happen coming out? Like, hey, let's take the third quarter off and we'll get them in the fourth, huh? We'll get our fans booing us and then we'll come back and get them cheering.
Hmm.
what was that? We just haven't been able to put together anything close to a complete game. We didn't put together a complete game against the Jets. I don't know, man. I just, and you know, and I said this yesterday, this is a year where everything's upside down in football.
It is.
It's just the Bills are 4-2. The Patriots are now, they're 4-2, but they beat the Bills. So if the season was to end, and by the way, we got 11 games left, but they win the AFC East. Now, I don't know if that's going to happen.
Yeah, I mean, we're like a third of the way through.
But I will tell you, the Patriots have a lot easier schedule than the Bills do.
Hey, Patriots Bills are a good team, though. It's not a fluke, right? Like, their quarterback's playing a lot better.
That's the key.
They've got some good players on that team.
To me, the key is how is your – you know, there's a reason we go around telling you the most important position. And he's on a rookie contract, so they haven't had to pay him. He keeps playing the way he's playing. He's going to jump in that he's going to jump in that big boy club too, 50 plus million
that
a year.
That's money, yeah.
But it's just crazy. Look at this. Look at the, you know, we said it this morning. Woody, the two best records in football right now. You can't make this up. The Colts and the Bucks. Now the Bucks have been in the playoffs. Colts were behind us last year. Weren't they? Or they go 9-8 or 8-9. I can't remember.
It doesn't matter. One way of getting to 500.
I got you.
It's just funny because remember going into the opener, we thought they are just going to run the track meet on the Colts. And, you know, they must be so sick and tired of hearing everyone trashing them all offseason. They go in there and lay the biggest egg they've laid in the Mike McDaniel era.
It is.
I mean, they got smashed in that game.
Yeah. No, we got
that. Just was it wasn't even competitive.
But even then, that was a bad sign.
Yeah, it was a really bad sign.
And I got to tell you,
I don't care how good Indy is.
And some guys disagree with me, but I thought that Lions practice, the one that became famous, and like, and the Dolphins were really upset about that. Like, why is everybody talking and making a big deal?
You're overreacting.
Yeah, it was.
And then they had a better day the next day.
Right? And they had the better day. Why don't you talk as much about the second day as we did the first day? Where yeah, they had a good practice against us, but you guys act like it's going to affect the start of the season.
It did.
I don't know, man. And then these guys don't look like they like each other. They came out kind of individually, and it's just like, it just.
Well, we had one coach get fired already, so Titans moved on.
Boy, they did.
Although that thing, like, again, it's like throwing your coach under the bus for the failures of the GM.
But his record was,
but you can't win with that team. I don't care who's coaching.
They just keep flipping coaches. And
you got a rookie quarterback in Cam Ward who
they still think he's good, though. Nobody's dogging him like, hey, he's playing by himself back there.
He is playing by himself, and it's tough to tell if he's good because he's on his ass every play.
No, he said we ass.
Oh, that's true, yeah.
Whew, man. Anyway, yeah, this thing's wide open. I just crack up to think that right now, Daniel Jones and Baker Mayfield's teams have the best record. The two rehabs. The two hey, give me another chance. I can show you. I want to show you. Sam Darnold's in there. Seattle's playing great. He's got 11 touchdowns for everybody thought maybe it was just a Minnesota thing. And so Darnold, Baker Mayfield, who's have been on a couple teams, but boy, he is the MVP. I agree with everybody saying it. If you look at inside the numbers and not just the numbers, but you look at the comebacks at the end of games and who he's playing with, and he's doing it sometimes. He made another one of those crazy runs, breaking tackles, diving out, screaming, jumping in guys' faces. It's like, this is unbelievable. He was the first overall pick. I mean, it's not like we should be surprised. The Browns took him a first overall. But maybe we got to start looking at some of these teams. Browns.
You want a rehab quarterback? I'm into that. Whatever, you know, whatever works, man.
If we would have brought Daniel Jones here in a perfect world without Tua getting another $200 million we owe him, I'm exaggerating, but.
Well, you think he would have saved the whole regime here?
No, because they would have.
They would have ruined him.
There's no way because I shouldn't even brought that up, and I apologize because, again, our guy's got. He got a lot of money coming this year and next year, and it's not going to change. But hopefully he learned a lesson and we can move on and talk football. But I got to tell you, he going to have to fix some relationships on that team. I don't care what anybody says, and everybody can say all the right things because that's what you should do. Last thing Mike needs is for another player to come out and blast Tua for like –
Yeah, but I also don't think Mike should take all the blame for everything that's gone on here. Like, if you're going to fire someone, I know that he's probably the first to go, right?
Not necessarily.
Just because. But Chris needs to take the blame for this. This roster is he owns it. Like, this is his failure. And the quarterback selection, that's on him. Like, it's all on him.
I got to tell you, do I have time? I got to go to break. When I come back,
to go to break.
I want to share something I had with somebody last night who wanted to tell me some information. It had to do with the head coach and the GM and the roster. You don't want to miss this. I'll have that for you when we come back. I want to share it with you. And you may have, and I want to share what
this is a good tease. I don't even know what you're talking about.
I know you don't. Tease. No. It was my phone. I've been busy taking phone calls. I've been listening because sometimes, you know, guys that are around, I want to know what they
How
think.
Do you answer like the Tua hotline? How can I help you?
No, I just know. I do have a little fun with it sometimes.
Yeah.
I'll go, you know, I did a little Tua shtick last night. I was doing that.
How'd that go over at home?
The guy was laughing. The guy on the guy's
family at home doesn't find it very funny though, right?
They don't find anything funny. No. They don't understand why I get so upset. And they're right.
They just don't understand your humor.
Hey, can I just share something with you for a second? I want to talk about a guy that I get. His name's Chev, the CEO of Loctite Impact Windows, Doors, and Roofing. And he's got a message for everybody. It's so true, Chev. Protect your home with Loctite Impact Windows, Doors, and Roofing. Don't wait to see. It's still hurricane season. They're still rolling around out there in the Atlantic Ocean. Just make the call. Let them come out. Meet them. Come by and see their office. Whatever you have to do. Get ready to go with Loctite Impact Windows, Doors, and Roofing. You got an old leaky roof. Replace your old roof now. You can pay later. Loctite Impact offers the highest quality roofing materials with lifetime warranty plus thousands of five-star reviews. Say big on their legendary state-of-the-art Impact Windows and Doors. Impact Windows as low as $6 per window per month installed. That should help you. Don't wait for the next storm. You can visit LoctiteImpact.com. Again, LoctiteImpact.com to get more information on them or call 954-500-LOCK, and they have six or seven in the office professionals that do nothing but answer calls. Can answer all your calls, take all your questions, and get you all set up, and let the good folks who cover all of South Florida, Loctite Impact Windows, Doors, and Roofing, to come out and get ready to do great work for you. Welcome.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Back, and good morning to everybody. Yeah, I'm feeling a little better on Tuesday. Got that little sports hangover that the Dolphins gave me on Monday. I'm feeling a little better. Feeling a little better, yeah. Chris Perkins, Sun Sentinel Dolphins columnist, is going to join us at 9 o'clock.
Yeah, he's not happy with you. I'm just curious, what was this thing you were teasing us about?
No,
here?
So the conversation last night, and again, I feel like an outside consultant or something here. Who put this roster together? And so this guy was trying to tell me that, you know, Mike put this roster together. Mike got what he wanted. And I was like, well, look it, if that's the case, then once again, weak GM, because that can't happen. And they're going, well, he wanted this guy and that guy and this guy. And so I was like, you know, this is a conversation. I always think of this because Chris Greer's been very open about this. So I'm not making something up. Oh, yeah, everybody says I've been too nice with the head coaches and I give in. You do. And he once told me. And it's true, like, and I understand it. I understand. I don't think it's good GM, but I don't think it's a good GM move where if your head coach really wants somebody and you don't think he's best for this team and you sign off on him because you're afraid if he takes your guy and he doesn't like him, it's going to screw up the relationship. Look at Mike McDaniel is the coach. He doesn't spend all year evaluating free agents and potential trade guys and draft guys. Yeah, he gets to it after the season and he gets to start studying it. You do it for a living. You and your staff do it for a living, Chris. You got final say. And you have to, it's your job to sell the coach on why you want your guy. How many coaches have to go through with this, Chris? And I know it's work. All the coaches get fired and you stay. I understand. So, I don't know the answer to some of the guys and who had final say. And I'm not talking about Tua. Tua is a Brian Flores, Chris Greer conversation, not Mike. But I just think we got to get it clean from the top. We got to clean it up at the very top before. And I know right now everybody's down on Mike and Tua. But don't forget about the nicest guy in the building. Don't forget about Chris. And again, I know Stephen Ross loves Chris Greer. I'm guessing loves Chris Greer, probably still likes Mike. Loves Chris Greer, still likes Mike. I get it. I have people come up to me like, Joe, you're just so wrong about Chris. He's such a nice guy. Well, this is not about nice guys. This is a cold business, as players will tell you. Are we winning or losing with the guys you're giving us? That's all. And after a while, you just can't blame everybody else.
I had him around long enough. Right?
So, I don't know. Maybe he feels differently and, you know, all those. And again, the goal is not a winning record. The goal is not losing in a wild card game in the first round. You are trying to win playoff
games. What's the goal now? Get the first pick?
We're not going to get that probably.
You're probably right.
We're probably not going to get that. Hey, we got Perk. We'll ask Chris Perkins that question. Yeah, is that a good one for Perk so we can bond a little bit on the same topic?
Just be nice, all right?
I love Perk.
You're starting a lot of fires with the writers down here.
I didn't start. I just said they did a little ass kissing after the game with them.
Not Perk, though. Not Perk. Please. Or Omar. Not Perk.
Omar is open about his.
Yeah, that's true.
Hey. Oh, man, I've got to take a second to talk about Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage, man. This man has no life. He's always working to get that mortgage fast for you when you need that money. When you need that money to get that home or get some equity out of your home, it's Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage. Wants to let you know fixed rates in the fives right now. And he's got some really good programs. Whether you're self-employed and been declined by the banks or you're first-time home buyers, he's going to get that paperwork done. He can do it quickly, get you qualified and rocking and rolling half the time of the big banks. I just got to tell you, too, he's got a program for the seniors, convert your home equity into money. And a lot of us, it's one of the most popular mortgages right now. You paid your home, as most of us, we get older, live in the same home. Pretty soon it's paid off or almost paid off, and you got a ton of money for in that equity way. And you're going, I could really use that to really enjoy my life if you're 62 or older. Hey, man, I just want to let you know that he's got a lot of great programs, including debt consolidation, man. If you need to consolidate some debt and get some things paid off, let Michael Kotze at Choice Mortgage do it all for you, man. He's always working, works 7 days a week. Always get a hold of him, even on a Saturday or Sunday. Call or text him, 561-441-2730. That's 561-441-2730, MLS 166-254. 30-plus years in the business, ready to help you right now with a mortgage.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly you know what why people it's not, outside of Cleveland you know, think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.